This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better. After having heard the word of faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Good to see all the pastors here tonight. I'm always deeply honored when pastors travel and come and be in services like these with all that they have to do. Amen. So give a big hand clap for all the pastors who are in the house. Dr. B is in Detroit preaching the word of God. Amen. So, she's there. So she went to Detroit and a women's meeting there. And I told her, fine, not a problem. I'm here with the light. I'll be all right. I told you I got a rap ministry coming. I'm here at the light, and I'll be all right. Everybody say, stay in your lane, Pastor. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware to thy fathers, as it is this day. Focusing on part A of that he gives us the power to get wealth. He gives us the ability to get wealth and the authority to get it. And we can capsulize that and summarize. He gives us the anointing to acquire, the anointing to get wealth, to acquire, to bring things into the kingdom of God. I want you to expand your thinking today, because when we talk about acquiring, we need to understand that for the kingdom of God to have something, you have to have it. Amen. Amen. And when you have it, it's in the kingdom. Everybody say, when I have it, it's in the kingdom. Right? You're in the kingdom, aren't you? So what you possess is in the kingdom. Amen. Because as we began to talk about acquiring, we want to make sure we are anchored. And that is because the kingdom has need of resources. And the kingdom cannot put it into the ministry part of the kingdom unless you have it. Amen. So you ought to be in a position of wanting to acquire so that you can be a blessing. Now, last night we focused and we talked extensively and laid the foundation on the scriptural basis for this promise of material increase, that God wants to increase us materially, that it is a will of God for you to have stuff. Amen. Now, you can only look at part of the redemption package and be satisfied with just going to heaven one day. Are y'all cold?
No.
All right, I don't know what y'all cold. They told me it was cold last night. Maybe that's why they were slow. But y'all get cold, y'all let me know, because they'll freeze us out. You can be satisfied if you want to with part of the redemption package that just guarantees you a place in heaven. And so I yield your position. I yield your position if you just want to be poor. You can. You can. I ain't going to argue with you. You can go to heaven broke. But you don't have to. And so there are those in the body of Christ who want to acquire for their own pleasure. And the Bible says he'll give us richly all things to enjoy. But also so that I can have to be a blessing. Amen. So we focused on that last night, and then from that we began to talk about how Satan battles against it. You know, all of the teaching, all the scriptures I gave you last night on how God wants you to be blessed, how he wants to prosper you, how he became poor that you might be rich, how the Bible talks there about the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, all these rich scriptures in the Bible. Got it? And with all of that there in the Bible, the devil will come and try to talk you out of it. Go to Matthew chapter 13. He'll try to talk you out of it. And you have to understand that that's a part of his ploy, because he doesn't want you to have God's best. Now, we have those who are watching us by internet tonight. Amen? And so we want to do a brief review, bring some of them up, because they weren't on us last night. But then we're going to flow into tonight's lesson. But look there in verse 19. It says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catch away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So the devil comes how quickly? Immediately. He really comes to try to discredit all that's been said because he wants to steal this word from you. Because if you can get this word, it can transform your thinking. And, you know, many of us grew up in churches where they never taught us about the prosperity aspect of the gospel. And so to hear it at first, it almost sounds foreign to us, sounded foreign to me, because I did not grow up with anybody teaching me this. I grew up really just, you know, just hold on to the Lord's unchanging hand. And after a while, by and by, you got it, we're going to meet up on the other side. You know, and in my Father's house, that's where the mansion is. I couldn't have one, but I could get one over yonder, you understand? So that's how I grew up. But then when I heard about it, I began to do an in-depth study myself. I saw that it was all right. I saw that it was the plan of God. I became totally persuaded. And even when the devil tried to steal the word, he couldn't because I understood it. Everybody say, when you understand it, can't steal it. And so things happen. People talk about you. You know, those who do not have the revelation, even ministers in the body of Christ. And I tell them all the time, those who don't have a revelation, but they want the stuff anyway. I mean, you look at them and they all prosper, so they want everything nice, but then they preach against prosperity. Got it? And so some of them will even take scriptures out of context, and that's okay. But I'm not persuaded by any of that because I got fully persuaded on the word of God that this is the will of God. See, this really has to be driven into you that you've got to know that it's as much the will of God for you to be rich, have abundance in your life, as it is for you to get to heaven. Amen. How many believe you're supposed to go to heaven? All right. With that same conviction, you got to believe that it is not the will of God for you to struggle. It is not the will of God for you to be on barely get along street. Now, you may be, like I said, when I heard it, I was struggling. When I heard it, my needs had needs. I understand that. But you got to fight through that. I'm going to show you some things tonight in the word of God that's going to help you so that you can get there in your head first. Because the Bible says a man is transformed by the renewing of his mind. So you'll be transformed when your thinking is transformed. You'll be transformed when you no longer think broke, but you think rich. When you no longer think survival, but you think surplus. Amen. 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 It takes as much faith, God told me this years ago, it takes as much faith to believe for a sandwich as it does. It takes the same process of faith to believe for a sandwich as it does for the whole loaf of bread. I just choose to work the process for the whole loaf. What you gonna do after you get the loaf? I'm going for the bakery. Yes. And it's a fight. It's a fight. It's a fight. It's a fight because this whole world system is contrary to that. People, everybody's talking contrary to that. I wouldn't do that if I was you. Child, I wouldn't. Everybody's talking that way. And if you're not, you know, and I told our church, you got to double up on hearing the word now. You got to double up on hearing it now because he's doing everything he can to pull you back into fear, unbelief, and lack so that you will not fight the fight of faith to win the fight for surplus. All right. Then we shared last night that Genesis chapter 12, that we're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. That's a good amen place. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
To be a blessing. And that's why God blessed Abraham. And, of course, we trace it all back to Abraham. He said, now, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you'll be a blessing. So I'm blessed to be a blessing so that when the kingdom of God has need of something, I'll have it. When people have need of some things, I'll have it. All right. Now, we flowed then into talking to you, and this is an important aspect. So I was trying to get to all night. They held me off, but I finally touched it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because the Holy Spirit, my fellowship with him will bring me into a revelation of what God has for me, and he will show me how to get it. That the Holy Spirit's ministry is not for shouting in church. If you just shout, that praise the Lord. But it's for more than that. It's for more than you. It's for more than you just feeling good. I feel the Spirit. Amen. It's more than that. He has a ministry that will help you in your day-to-day life. Amen. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Are you there? All right, it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither been into the heart of man, the things, and I want you to underline the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. How many of y'all love him in the house? Everybody? Okay. So there are some things that God has prepared for you because he loves you. Amen. All right, watch this. But God hath revealed them unto us. Now, it's amazing. I grew up in a church setting. Not necessarily talking about a particular church, but I'm talking about a church setting, the denomination I grew up. They never would read this scripture. This next one. All they would do was would say, you know, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither in the heart of man the things God prepared for them. Then they would say, you just never know. Come on, you know, ever hear that growing up? You just never know. Just never know. Isn't that amazing? Because the Bible says here, but God has revealed them. He will reveal them what? Them, the things that eyes have not seen. The things that ears have not heard. The things that God hath prepared for us. Amen. God wants to reveal those to us. How? By his Spirit. Now we found out that the Holy Spirit is God's agent to get anything done in any dispensation. Anytime God's going to get something done, his power to get it done is his Spirit. His way of getting it done is by his Spirit. So, when we talked about the fresh fire anointing, it is far more expansive than just helping you in church, just helping you to be a good Christian. But it also is to help you increase in life. Wish I had a better amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Shout by myself. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit knows everything that God wants to get to me. So when we ignore him, we ignore our connection with God to increase. Amen, amen. All right, now. We showed you on last night that when Jesus came, the first thing he announced when he announced his ministry, he says, now the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. First thing on his agenda had to do with material substance. Amen, amen. Now, the Holy Spirit can be grieved when we go about trying to get what he wants done other ways, what he's been sent to do. I might want to write this down. The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is the administrator of the anointing. He's the administrator. He's the agent. He's the administrator of the anointing. And it is, when he gives me the power to get wealth, that's an anointing to get wealth. He's the administrator of it. Now we said, here's what he does, so we don't get spooky. A lot of folks get so spooky that they cannot practically apply the word of God. He comes to strengthen me so that I will practice the principles for increase. No, he comes not to make me feel woozy and good and what chill bumps and all that kind of stuff, but he comes to give me the strength, the wherewithal, and the resolve and the revelation on the word of God. So I got this word revealed to me, and I got the resolve to act on it. My fellowship with him will cause me to be strengthened in my inner man. The Holy Spirit is not going to exempt you from practicing the word, but he's going to strengthen you to practice the word. He will make this so clear to you that you'll understand this is God's plan. That without a doubt, if I am going to increase based on the kingdom's way, I'm going to be a giver. And even sometimes when it's tough to give, That's when he comes in and strengthens me, gives me the resolve to practice the principle. The principle of increase, of giving, of confessing the word of God. When I don't feel like confessing, he brings to my remembrance that that's how the kingdom works. Amen, amen. So he encourages me and he strengthens me to practice the principle. Because when I practice the principles in the word of God for increase, the anointing is released. Amen. Everybody say the anointing is released. Now, go with me, Bibles. Let's go to Isaiah 10. The many synonyms for the anointing of God, grace of God, spirit of God, power of God, all those are synonyms for this anointing. And the anointing is the supernatural endowment and empowerment, the ability for us to function according to God's divine purpose, bring to pass his will. It's divine ability. Remember, the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, Christ is not Jesus' last name. You know, a lot of us, we never even thought about it. We just grew up as Jesus Christ, you know. So we almost thought he was Mary Christ, Joseph Christ. But Christ was pretty much a title of his. He was an anointed one. So it speaks of his anointing. So I can do all things through the anointing which strengthens me. So what we're after is the anointing. And he will anoint you to increase. Everybody say, I'm anointed. To increase. Now, y'all know many of y'all saying that by faith, but some of y'all really know y'all, you understand? Well, any anointing has to be stirred up. That's the purpose of this summit, for those of you who don't know your anointed, to instruct you on how that anointing operates. For those of you who already know your anointed, we're stirring it up. Amen, amen. So in Isaiah 10, watch this. This is, the anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. How many know poverty is a burden? How many know lack is a yoke? Lack will keep you from getting where you need to go and doing what you need to do. I don't hardly really need to go on that too much, do I? Verse 27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken off thy shoulders and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So the anointing is this power of God, this empowerment that comes upon your life. And it's not necessarily something you can feel, but it's just an empowerment that comes upon your life that gives you the ability to function at a whole nother level, a perspective at a whole nother level. It gives you this favor of God at a whole nother level to increase. Amen. And God wants you to tap into that anointing. So now, go open your Bibles now, and let's look at Isaiah 45, since we're there. Because whatever God does, he does in an abundant measure. When we looked at that last night, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Peter went out to catch fish. Jesus called, instructed him on how to catch fish in such a way that almost you know, sunk the boat. Little boy gave up his lunch. Jesus gave him 12 baskets full after having fed, you know, 5,000 men besides the women and the children. Because you got to get in your mind that abundance is the will of God for you. Amen. Got to get that in your mind. That's abundance is the will of God. Now, you'll know whether you're there when you see abundance and it bothers you. Then you know you're not there. Okay. You see a fella and he got 10 cars. And you say, that's a shame. Can't drive but one at a time. He got 10 cars. Well, first of all, whether he had 10, 20, or 1, What's it to you?
Amen.
You're saying, well, like he wasn't going to give you one.
Amen.
You're not even in the equation. See, but when abundance bothers you, that means you got a problem with abundance.
Yes.
And you're not there yet. That God is a God of
abundance.
Amen, amen. Now, Isaiah 45. He's a God of abundance. He does things in abundant measure. Amen. And so we're going to get you beyond. I think we're going to be able to identify tonight why you got a problem with abundance. We are. We're going to identify. And we're going to be able to nail it. And you're going to go, Everybody say, Now, when I point it out, and it's you, I want you to go, Because I'm telling you, I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show it to you. You don't understand why, but I'm going to show it to you clear as a bell. Y'all be a good class. I'm going to get there. All right, now watch this. Now, whatever God does, he does by his
spirit.
Oh, come on. He's going to do it by his spirit. All right, now, look at verse 3, it says. All right. Verse 2, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Everybody say,
what God does for one,
he must do for another. Otherwise,
he's
a God
who is a respecter
of persons. All right, so God says now, what he does for one in principle, he must do for another. So we see here, he said, now I'll guide you. He's talking to, this is a prophetic word to Israel. He says, now I'll guide you into some secret money. I'll guide you in hidden money. Money others don't see. Amen, amen. All right. So the Holy Spirit now, what he's going to do, he's going to minister to us through the resolve. Everybody say the resolve.
Resolve.
Yeah, the resolve to harvest. I got to want to harvest. Remember we found out that if we consider the clouds, we won't go after it. And when it's cloudy, like the economy like it is now, a lot of folk won't go after it. I read you all of the reports on yesterday out of some of the financial magazines, and they're saying this is the greatest time to buy. Yet everybody's holding on to their money. And the government is telling everybody, would y'all please spend? That is the way to get the economy back on track. Folks spending money, but nobody's spending because everybody's in fear. But that's the kind of climate we like. Because those who have, since they can't sell it, they dropping the prices. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Oh, we're going to get you there. We're going to get you there. Now, go to Acts chapter 10. Everybody say the anointing is for abundance. All right? And the anointing must be activated. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, how we have sold ourselves short. Oh, how we've sold the kingdom short. Amen. Now, let me ask a question. This ain't got nothing to do. Is this off-centered? Well, somebody come put this on center. This is bothering me. I know it ain't but a couple of inches. But this is, ain't it off-centered? See, it's been bothering me. I just cannot deal with that. Yeah. Now, okay, that's my issue. Okay, that's better. Praise the Lord. It is what it is. All right. Thank you all for helping me out on that, because that thing was bothering me. All right. All right. All right. Okay. Okay. Stretch your hands to him and pray for him. Just. Now watch this. Where did I tell you to go? Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 44. I want you to read it. We're going to read it. All right. It says, and while Peter yet spake these words. Now, what words were he talking about? He was just preaching the gospel to them. Talking about how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. He's preaching the gospel. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. The Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. The Holy Ghost fell. An anointing fell as they heard the word. Some of y'all getting that, see? See, that's as this word goes forth and you hear the word, an anointing falls, it's stirred up in you. If a person hears the word on healing, faith rises for healing because faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. So what makes this conference so important, because as you hear this word on abundance, as you hear this word on increase, as you hear this word on the God who is more than enough, guess what happens? The Holy Ghost. And you're stirred up in your faith to believe you can get out of your situation. Stirred up in your faith to believe that your better days are ahead. Amen, amen. All right, now watch this. Go with your Bibles now to Luke chapter 16. We're talking about how to activate the anointing. How to activate the anointing. Because I want this anointing. I want to be able to function at a supernatural level. Function at a level of divine empowerment. Think at a level outside the box where others don't think. I prayed for some Mary Kay folk last night. And they came and brought their cards to me, asked me to pray for them. And my prayer to them was that God would give them creative ways of marketing that others don't have. See, if you do what others do, you have what others have. Everybody say outside the box, outside the box. So you got to get outside the box. Everybody else is thinking this way. You want the Holy Spirit to cause you to think at a whole nother level. He's got the answer to every situation. There can be no problem that exists for which he is not already the total supply. See, that's what you got to understand. You got to understand, he already knows. And it's my fellowship with him that causes me to know what he knows. The Bible says God knows my end from my beginning. And the scripture says, I read it to you already, the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. So the Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen to me from my beginning to my end. He knows every situation I'm going to be in, and he has the solution to every situation that I'm in. So when I'm in a situation and I pray about it, that is not when God found out about it. Hallelujah. Now watch this in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Everybody say the anointing. All right, watch this. Listen, look at verse 11. Well, verse 10, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in least is also is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Everybody say true riches. Now underline true riches. Because true riches refers to the anointing. All right, go to Colossians. I'll show you that. Put your ribbon there, and let's go to Colossians now. Chapter 1, verse 27. Everybody say the riches. Well, then is the anointing. So it says, if I'm not faithful with what I have, then he's not going to give me that anointing. Amen. All right. Watch this, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody say Christ is not Jesus' last name, but Christ is the anointing So the riches here, as you look at this passage, is referring. He says, what is this riches? The riches is the riches is Christ in you, the anointing in you. So when I understand that, when the Bible talks about riches, you trace it out through the scripture, you'll see it's always referring back to this anointing. So he says, if you're not faithful with what you have, you're not going to walk in the anointing. You know, I have, I get thousands of letters from people all over the country writing. Most of them is about finances. Most of them about finances. Now, isn't it a shame that the greatest need that people have is finances, yet folk get upset when you teach on it? Greatest need people have is finances. Most marriages are strained because of finances. The greatest problem in the church is really normally they don't have enough finances to carry out the vision. Yet that's what troubles most folk is when you start talking about. Now, folk don't get it. If you're not faithful with what you have, forget all the big stuff. He said, I ain't going to trust you with the anointing. See, you want God to trust you by anointing you to acquire. Anointing you to acquire stuff. Getting stuff becomes easy. Oh, y'all got quiet on that. So now when you're anointed, getting stuff is easy. It's just, we can just start with tithing. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. You won't have room enough to receive. You walking in the tithing anointing, you're supposed to have so many opportunities, you can't take advantage of them all. But if you're not faithful with that little 10%. See, he says now, let's go back to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, I got to be faithful. Because if I'm not faithful, he ain't going to trust me with the big stuff. I'll be running scratching like everybody else. All right. It says, verse 11, if therefore you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. Mammon has to do with money. All right. Who will commit to your trust the true riches? Who going to trust you? He says, God says, I ain't going to trust you with the anointing to get money. I ain't going to trust you with that unless I see you faithful with where you're at. My God. So you got to locate where you are. My God. Everybody says location time. Location time. You are number one, you are tempting God's wrath through postponement. Postponement is, I'm going to get around to it. Yeah, I know I'm old tired. I know, I heard that scripture, I know, but I got some things I got to work out. Or you could be at the second level. Second level is that you are testing God's wealth proposals. Testing it. In other words, I'm going to see if this will work. That's where I was one day. I'm going to see if this will work. When I was broke, that's when I started. I'm going to see. Because he said, concerning the tithe, prove me now. Test this. Prove me, test this. See, that's why every believer in every church, the minimum you ought to be is a tither.
That's right, the minimum.
See, that ain't your money. No, that's not, see, that ain't, if you think, see, you don't even have a decision. Now you think you have, as long as you think you have, you don't have a revelation. See, you, in your mind, all your money is yours. You got to decide whether I will give it to God or not. No. He said that belonged to him, period. Now, you want all his other stuff. You want his heaven. You want his grace. You want his favor. You want his mercy. And he says, that tenth part of your increase is mine. And you go, oh, no, time out. It's my money. I work for this money. Because see, once you establish in your thinking that it's not yours, it's never a problem anymore. Once I establish in my thinking that the Lord has claimed 10% of what I, now I didn't like it. I'm going to just tell you straight up, I didn't like it. Now, when I first came into it, I didn't like it. Because I said, I made all these bills, now God made a bill for me. And that one, you ain't gonna never pay off. But once I established it belongs to him, then it wasn't no problem anymore because I never claimed. I never laid claim on it anymore. Then, of course, we went beyond that and we give way, way, way over. Way, 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 way over. In fact, we average giving $1 million away a year. I ain't talking about church. I'm talking about the boy that started tithing with $6.50. My first tithe was $6.50. But I've been faithful. So I'm anointed. Y'all understand? Don't take it the wrong way. I'm just saying, it's getting stuff is easy. People just bring me stuff. I said, no, I don't want about it. Well, I just about give it to you. I don't want about it. I don't want that. And then some people talk more about it. They say, well, you just have it anyway. But see, here's the thing. God knows that wherever we have, if the kingdom has need of it, I give it. That's the difference, see? Because I'm a steward. This is all his stuff. I'm a steward. Are you listening? But you got to prove faithful right where you are. You don't say, I'm going to wait till I can give this. No, you're faithful right where you are. You got to start right there with the tithe. And then from the tithe, you rise up and you're going to give offerings. Forget what the world has to say. Oh, I know your cousins, your aunties, and your uncles and all them folks. Are you giving all your money? Blah, 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 blah. They say that until they see you prosper. And then once they see you prosper, they want to know, well, how you do that? Talk to me about that. Give me one of them tapes. You've been listening to tapes. Give me one of them tapes. Give me one of them CDs. I want one of them CDs. What time your pastor come on TV? What time you come? Everybody say, stay with him. All right, now. So, I need to know how to activate the anointing. I activate the anointing through proclaiming the word, hearing the word. I activate that anointing through planning, through being faithful. I activate that anointing through prayerfulness. Everybody say prayerfulness. And that is what we talked about last night, that prayer of agreement. When God told me to have a certain person to agree with me in prayer. And because he told me he wanted me to plant. God will direct you to plant money certain times. Got it? See, the prophet, the Bible says, when the prophet came to the widow in 1 Kings 17, she already knew what she's supposed to do. The Bible says, the Lord says, I've commanded her to sustain thee. So she already knew, in essence, what she was supposed to do. And then the prophet asked, he said, I need some water. And she went and got him some water. Now, that was serious for her to go get some water because it was, you know, it was a drought. Then after the prophet said, she got the water, he said, well, and why don't you go get me a cake, too? She said, well, wait a minute, buddy. Now, see, you've got to see yourself as one who's tested the principles and know they work. And this is the third level, is one who's trusting God's wealth promises. Everybody say trusting the wealth promises. See, I'm trusting the wealth promises. In other words, see, I know when I have a need, I got to sow. Because I chose to live by this kingdom principle. See, I could live a carnal life as though that's not in the scripture, but I'm living by kingdom principles. And the kingdom way for me to increase is for me to give. And the Bible says, I don't have to know how it's going to come. He can use established channels that I have, or he can use exceptional channels that I don't even know of right now. But it doesn't bother me. I know the principle works. I've tested it. I've tried it. And I'm trusting. Everybody say trusting. Now, how many in here trust in the promises? Trust in the promise. That's it. Yeah. I mean, all that means is you believing for something. Well, if you're believing for something, you ought to be sowing it. You ought to be saying it. You ought to be confessing the word over it. That's how this works. Amen. Final. Now, in Matthew 18, 19 says, two of us shall agree as touching anything we ask, it'll be done, right? So, as I said to you, God spoke to me, called a certain man. Kenneth Cope called him and told him, you're supposed to agree with me. Didn't even tell him what I'm supposed to agree with. Told him that the Lord told me to him, sow 10,000 into his life and ministry. And then, boom, right away, because the Holy Spirit already got him ready. I mean, the Holy Spirit already had him ready. I never even had to tell him specifics. He just went to start praying on the phone and covered all the bases. Now, just so I can put this on tape, I've been knowing Brother Copeland. You know, we used to serve on the board of War U together, that sort of thing. I'm still Dr. Price's son.
Amen.
Some things you just put on record. Still his son. I sow into other ministries too.
Amen.
Okay? So ain't no change. Everybody say, no change. Yeah, I'm still. And so, we've sown into his ministry and other projects he's had. You got it? It's like other ministers sow into me. That don't mean that they don't jump ship or anything like that. Praise the Lord. Just want to say that so it get on tape. Yes, you have to get on tape on something. Hallelujah. All right, now watch this. What is the problem? Everybody say, well, what's the problem? Okay, there are some special problems that interfere with your material increase. And go to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. Yeah, your increases. You say, I got all that, Pastor. I got folk in agreement. I'm praying. I'm sowing. I'm confessing. But it's just so hard. It's just so hard. I understand about this resurrection power, Holy Ghost, he got all power, El Shaddai, I know all about that. Come on. Come on now. Because see, the place I'm trying to get you, remember we're giving these four levels where you could be, you got to identify yourself. You can be number one at the place of, y'all remember class, y'all taking no good notes? Tempting God's wrath through postponement. Number two, testing God's wealth proposals. Number three, trusting God's wealth promises. Or number four, transferring God's wealth provisions. Everybody say transferring. That's where you want to be. Where you're transferring the wealth of the wicked into the kingdom of God, into your hands, so you can be a manager of it in the kingdom. Amen. That's when you're no longer just kind of praying for your needs to be met. Your needs are met. You're going after the wealth of the wicked. Everybody say the wicked's wealth, is looking for me. Y'all are not excited enough. Put your ribbon here. Let me give you your scripture so you can say it with some conviction. Because some like, I can't say that. I don't know that. I can't say that. Let me see if we can give you a scripture to give you some conviction. All right. Verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Amplified says this way. A good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. Maybe y'all get it. In a little bit, get me. But I told y'all, Jeremiah, I'm shouting all by myself. Proverb. I thought I told y'all Proverbs. Okay. All right, okay. I take full responsibility. Okay, watch this. Now let's shout. Now y'all ready to shout with me now, huh? Okay. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Put your ribbon at Jeremiah 5. I'm going to get you back there with your problems. But are you there now, class? Verse 22, I'm going to read out the Amplified. A good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. God says the sinner's money is supposed to come to you. God says the sinner's stuff is supposed to come to you. It's finding its way. Amen. Now, when I get to that section, I might not get to that section tonight about wealth transfer, but when I get to that section and start reading you some scriptures, you're going to think that they wrote that what I'm reading came off of CNN. Because I'm going to start talking to you about when the Bible says, and when the rich start hollering and start crying. And some people who have been seriously rich are crying right now. And the Bible says it's during that time that wealth transfer is supposed to happen to us. Homes that you thought you could never live in, you're going to buy them for little or nothing. You know, I had an opportunity the other day to buy a whole subdivision. I said, whole subdivision. The bank said, what does it take for you to take this? I said, I don't want it. No, because I don't want to be no landlord. Because, see, folk will pay everybody else. They won't be paying the preacher. You know, they won't pay me. They won't pay me. See, they won't pay Bishop. If I rent out all the houses, they won't pay Bishop. See, they... Got it? No, even if you do that, they'll get behind that. So the real owner is the helicopter preacher. And he put this poor family out on the street more at 10. That'd be on the news. More at 10. I'm standing here in front of this big old church. So it was about Malachi? Wasn't it about 30 houses? About 30 houses, about 30 houses.
Wow. That's awesome.
Amen. More at 10. Okay. Now watch this. Come on, I want to get this now. Get this. Go back to Jeremiah, because I got to show you so you can go. Verse 25 says, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." Everybody say iniquity.
Iniquity.
All right, now iniquity is a generational curse.
Yes.
That's what an iniquity is. Everybody say iniquity.
Iniquity.
Is a generational curse. All right, we're looking at special problems now to your increase. First problem is the problem of iniquity, or the problem of generational poverty. You come from poor folk. Your family's been poor. When we talking about my mama. Come on now, just stay with me now. Stay with me. I'm going to help you. Everybody see, trying to help us now. All right, because I got to work with you if you're going to help me now. But that's what the Bible, when the Bible talks about iniquity, iniquity is a practice, an habitual practice that weakens your ability to yield. Weakens your ability to resist, and you yield to that temptation. And the Bible says iniquity is passed down from generation to generation. You inherited certain weaknesses from your parents, from their parents. Certain iniquities or generational curses run in families. In a natural, of course, over in the physical realm, when you go to the doctor, what they want to do, they want to take a family history. Why? Because they know that you inherited certain physical weaknesses. What the Bible says, iniquity, certain weaknesses to sin in certain ways have been passed down. And the devil knows your weakness. Now, an iniquity comes about because there is an habitual habit. A person sins this way habitually, and because of that habitual sin, it becomes an iniquity. And then you can see that weakness showing up in their families. You look at certain families and you can see, you know, certain sins. Granddaddy went to prison. Daddy went to prison. Son in prison. Grandchildren in prison. Understand? You know, grandmama had a baby out of wedlock. Mama had a baby out of wedlock. Everybody say iniquity. Oh boy, they're getting quiet on that. Go with me in your Bibles now. I want to show you something in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Everybody said iniquity. Any sin that's committed habitually becomes iniquity and is passed down. The weakness to that is passed down from generation to generation. All right? Verse 29 says, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. All right? All right? But everyone shall die in his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. What does all that mean, Pastor? Let me try to make it real simple. You grew up hearing negative talk about giving because folk around you were poor and they talked down prosperity. And in your formative years, that's all you heard. All the preacher want is your money is the root of, and that ain't the scripture. The Bible says the love of it. But you heard all this negative stuff about money and about giving because you grew up around a bunch of God robbers. And they wouldn't give to the church. They said, I ain't giving my money down there. I don't know what they're doing. I thought I'd get a couple of umps in here in a little bit. I know I done hit some points on that. Let me work on it a little bit more and I'm going to get my umps. Because you heard folk. You heard folk putting down giving. You heard folk putting down prosperity. You heard folk putting down abundance. And that's what you grew up hearing. A disdain about money. A disdain about folk who got stuff. Iniquity. And you inherited a weakness for the devil to tempt you in that area where you do the same thing. And you wonder why it's so hard. You done heard the scripture. But deep down in the inside of you, this junk got down inside of you first. If it wasn't for bad luck, would have no luck. I take one step forward and you won't say ump, I'm going to say it for you. If I say iniquity, iniquity. No, I'm saying you have been victimized by poverty. You have been victimized by generational curse of poverty. To the point that they said, if everything's going good, something wrong somewhere. Come on now. So things start getting good. That start rising up. Wait a minute, I shouldn't be doing this good. And the fear of losing what you have. And it comes and it sabotages your faith. It sabotages you doing what you know the Word of God says doing. That's the same thing that happens when people sin in other ways. They know what the Bible says about those other sins. But that iniquity, that weakness to give in is there. And it takes the anointing to break that. Go to Isaiah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Everybody say anointing. Yes, indeed. Yeah, you resent prosperity. Well, the Bible says the fathers ate the sour grapes. The fathers ate it and poisoned the children. Set the children's feet on edge. In other words, because of what their children heard. They grew up with bitterness all because of what they heard. All them preachers want is your money, and I ain't going to do it. I'll be doggone if I'm going to give my mama money. I'll be doggone. More than you heard more negative stuff at your home. I heard an ump back there. There you go. Yeah. You heard more negative stuff about the Lord's house and church at home. Folk that should have protected you poisoned you. And you're living now with that poison in you. And that stuff got to be rooted out of you. You'll never have the joy and expectation because that stuff comes back to sabotage you. And you can't even enjoy good stuff. Hallelujah. I know I'm right. Isaiah, let's get you straight before we close. Y'all all right? Let's get you straight. All right, watch this. See, now when we read this, whoo, it just means so much to us now. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The curse of generational poverty. It's broken over your life through the application of the blood of Jesus. Every time those crazy thoughts come to your mind, you've got to plead the blood of Jesus, claim the blood of Jesus that frees you from that iniquity. You will never be free to give. And if you're never free to give, you cannot be free to receive. Yes, gets you to disobey the laws of prosperity. You got a negative attitude directed about prosperity. You got a disdain when it comes to giving to honor God. The Bible shows many situations where we look at it, but we overlooked it. When Ananias and Sapphira, when they sinned, the Bible called that iniquity. Calls to Satan fill their hearts to do that. When Simon, after he saw how the Holy Spirit came on people when they laid hands on them, he said, let me pay you money for that. And you know what they call that? The apostle says, this is iniquity. Yeah. Wrong attitude by money. Everybody say wrong attitude by money. And when Achan stole from God, the Bible called it iniquity. Yeah. And that's what you have to do. You're talking about walking in increase. You got the scripture. But there's something on the inside that causes you to doubt. The devil tell you, ain't going to work for you. That's a game. Like, why you want to give? You need your money. I mean, the fiery dart is the fiery dart that tempts you to disobey God. Whether it's a fiery dart telling you to go with another woman and you already married. Or whether it's telling you to steal God's money. Or disobey the Holy Spirit when he tells you to give. Because whenever he directs you to give, it's because he's setting you up. Because the power can only be released based on obedience. And see, then there's the problem when you're talking about giving to people who already have. Like, you know, okay, well, why don't you find some old little church? You could have gave that $10,000 to some little church. Well, if that's what God had told me to do, I would have. But you don't, I ain't got no problem sowing into somebody that's got something. In fact, I'm more excited about doing that. Because that's good ground. Good ground is ground that's producing what you want. Everybody say iniquity. Can be broken. Now let me make a confession. Iniquity is broken over my life tonight. I'll never rob God again. I'll never follow the thoughts of the devil again. Every thought that rises against the word of God, that challenges my increase, I cast it down in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 5. We'll read, we'll get into this one, and we'll probably pick it up tomorrow. James chapter 5. Second problem is institutional prosperity. What do I mean institutional prosperity? The system is set against you. And you butt your head up against the system to the point where you're saying, they ain't going to help me. Everybody say institutional prosperity. That is prosperity the world's way. The way the world say you're supposed to get it, you can't get it that way. For whatever reason. Maybe you got jacked up credit. Maybe you got the wrong color. Banks ain't going to lend to you. You ain't going, they won't, nobody won't help you. You don't have this kind of education, that kind of education. All of the institutional parameters for prosperity you don't have. And that discourages your pursuit. And it would be all right to give up if you didn't have the anointing. Our text says, he says, that it is he that giveth thee power. Not the system, but it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Who is that not written to? If part of the Bible is written to me, all of it's written to me. James chapter 5. Are you that one? We'll wrap it up with this one. And then tomorrow we're going to pick it up. Ooh, yes. Tomorrow we're going to pick up with generational, this generational institutional prosperity, how to break its grip on your thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Watch this. Verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Y'all there? Amen. And your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped up treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the labor who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. You wouldn't even pay them. Crieth, and the cries of them that have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. He says, listen, the rich men who have gotten their gain unjustly didn't even pay the folk right. There are folk who've defrauded you. Bible says all they were doing was heaping up riches for the last days. These are the days of wealth transfer. You cannot let any institutional prosperity standard keep you from the pursuit of divine prosperity. You're saying, well, I don't have this and I don't have that. Oh, no. You have the, oh, y'all got it. Praise the Lord. I got to, yeah, see, I'm anointed to prosper. See, I told years ago when I started the church 25 years ago, I told the pastor, I'm anointed to pastor. I sit in the meeting, all them start talking about their earned degrees. I ain't got no problem with earned degrees and that sort of thing. My degree is honorary. They looked at my work and said, you know, hey, you know, you're a doctor. I praise the Lord for that. But I was sitting around some guys who had earned degrees. And they were saying, well, they're trying to embarrass me. He got his degree from Harvard, and he got his degree from this place, and he got his doctorate from that place, and that sort of thing. Where'd you get yours from? I say, listen, I'm anointed to be a pastor. That's why I got more members than all of y'all put together. No, y'all need to hear me now. See, you need to walk in life with a swagger, a Holy Ghost swagger. I'm anointed of God to get ahead. I'm anointed of God to get ahead. No, I may not have what everybody else has, but I have what I need. What is that? I got the Holy Ghost. And God is raising up somebody. That's what the anointing does. He's raising up somebody to help me. Somebody will help me right when I need help. He'll have somebody to help me at the mortgage company. Somebody to help me at the light company. Somebody to help me whenever I need help. God's going to raise somebody up to help me. Why? I'm anointed. Oh yeah, they scratch their heads and they wonder, but I am anointed. God called me one day and said, they was looking at your airplane out at Harvey Airport. The guys, the rich guys were around your airplane at Harvey Airport, wondering, what kind of church is this with a jet like this? One guy said he got a big company and his company can't afford a jet like this. What do you think about it? I said, absolutely nothing. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, I'm anointed, I'm anointed. Yeah. I'm anointed. Whatever I see, my hands are anointed. Whatever I touch prospers, see. I'm talking about you. You got to say, my hands are anointed. Whatever assignment you have, wherever you are stationed in life, you're able to function at that at such a high level because that is how wealth transfer happens. The Bible, I'll show it to you scripturally tomorrow, but the Bible says, the day cometh when the advantage that the wicked has on us of knowledge, that day cometh where the tide will be reversed and you will be so smart at what you do that the wicked will come to you with their wealth and say, show us, help us out. Anointed to be the best. If you're a hairstylist, you are the best. You walk into your shop, to your station with a swagger. Y'all getting this? I mean, tomorrow you go to work, you clean your desk off, you look very executive and you look very astute. Why? I'm anointed to do this. And you watch the Holy Ghost show up. He is just waiting to show off. I'm telling y'all, the Holy Spirit is just waiting to show off. Let's make a final confession, then we'll stop. Y'all all right for tonight?
Yes.
Father, in Jesus' name, repeat after me. Thank you.
I'm anointed to prosper.
My eyes are open to see creative ways
to increase financially.
My ears are open to hear the best deals.
My heart is pure.
So that you can trust me with finances.
I'm on the path
of perpetual increase
in the name of Jesus.
With the help of the Holy Spirit,
I will flow
in a new level
of prosperity anointing.
I have been broke,
but
poverty
has no power over me.
I boldly declare
I will never
be broke
another day in my life.
I boldly declare
I am free of debt.
I am the lender,
not the borrower.
The wealth of the wicked
is looking for me.
Every day
it's being transferred to me.
I commit
to establish the kingdom of God
in the earth.
So daily
you are loading me with benefits.
I'm anointed to prosper.
I'm on your mind
because
you want to increase me
more and more.
Abundance
is your will for me
because it pleases you
when I prosper.
So I'll call it today.
Increase,
come.
Abundance,
come.
Souls,
Members,
come.
Money,
come.
Now watch this. I got focus. See, people ask me, well, how come you never turn back? The Bible says faith is, now faith is the substance. Everybody say now faith.
Now faith.
Now faith. Now. Now faith.
Now.
Now faith is the substance.
Now
faith.
As a man thinketh
in his heart, so is he.
When I start thinking it, I claimed it then broke.
I was broke here, but I was rich here.
No,
you understand? I got it back then and I became rich then with no money in my pocket because it has to be in a now state.
Most of y'all waiting for it to show up,
but in your heart it's got to be now.
So I wasn't looking for anything because I had it now.
Now.
Amen, amen.
That's the difference. That's the turning point.
So many of y'all waiting for something to show up.
It's got to be on the inside of you first.
And once it's on the inside, the devil can't never take it away.
Whew, okay.
It's time to give. Y'all ready to give?
Here's how I'm going to ask you to give. Here's how I'm going to ask you to give. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to give. Our giving is going to be done in a...